live from the Falcons Indoor Practice Facility in Flowery Branch, Georgia. Here's Wes Jurum and Dave Archer.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome to the Monday edition of the Falcons Coaches Show. Head Coach Mike Smith with us, of course, in the first half hour. And with Dave Archer, Wes Jurum, great to have you with us for our hour here from Flowery Branch. 27-13, the final yesterday. The Bears pick up the victory here in Atlanta. The Falcons are 2-4, and they're headed to Baltimore on Sunday at 1 o'clock. And our coverage of the Falcons and Ravens on Sports Radio 92.9. The game begins at 11 a.m. with the Ackerman Security Systems countdown to kickoff. A ball game yesterday that was had an interesting rhythm to it early, Coach, and you guys got back into it, tied the ball game, and then the Bears got a couple of touchdown drives. The offense couldn't get that groove back. They got you tied, and then all of a sudden, as I think you noted in your press conference, when you're playing from behind, you're pressing a little bit offensively, and you guys fall 27-13. In this game, you touched in your press conference about explosive plays, being more efficient, things like that. Are those the two big things you pull away after you watch the tape and break it down with the staff?
Well, I think explosive plays were a big part of it. The lack of us being able to produce them on the offensive side of the ball, and us giving up eight explosives on the defensive side. And, you know, we gave up five passes for 192 yards, and then they had three runs for 39 yards. And when you give up 231 yards of explosive plays, it's tough. And then we only created six explosive plays on offense and felt like we left some out there. We didn't throw and catch the ball as well as we would have liked to in the ball game yesterday.
Smitty, you talked about the inconsistencies on your defense. I wrote some notes down here, and I would assume that would lead directly to the miscommunications you're talking about, or the lack of communication that's leading to some of these big plays.
Yes, we've got to do a much better job of communicating, and we all have to be on the same page. You know, each defense has moving parts, and they can change. And we gave up some open plays because we did not communicate properly, and that's something that we have to get corrected as a coaching staff, and then our players have to go out and be able to execute it on the field.
Well, that's just it. You're never out there covering. You're teaching, you know, all the way to and through Sunday. But you've got guys out there that are not translating to potentially what's happening in practice or in the meeting rooms to the field. How frustrating is that for you as you try to get it corrected to get them to play at the right level?
Well, it's something that we've got to get fixed. We've not played consistent football in our four defeats, and that's something that we've got to be much better at, as being a consistent football team. And it's important that we all understand that we're all in this together. That we've got to work as units, and what happens on the defensive line can affect the linebackers and can affect the secondary guys. What happens on offense can affect the defense, and vice versa. And special teams can affect it as well. And we've just got to be more consistent in everything that we do. And as I said in my press conference, it's a shared responsibility for everybody, and we've got to do it the right way. And we know that there'll be occasional mistakes, but we cannot continue to have the mistakes that we have made in our four defeats.
How much of it, Smitty, it can be a body blow to you a little bit as you're trying to adjust as a head coach and making adjustments offensively and defensively, when part of the area that you rely on the most, your pass catchers, have a really difficult day, as they did a year yesterday, where that's something you almost kind of take for granted, yet it didn't come to fruition for you in a game.
Yeah, we did not have the best passing game that we're capable of having. That's obvious, and you don't ever take anything for granted in regards to how the flow of the game is going to go. But we put ourselves behind the chains on the offensive side of the football. We were in 3rd and 10. We had 3rd and 10 five times in the ball game yesterday, or 3rd and 10 plus, and that's a tough down for any offense. And we've got to be better and our third down efficiency. The last 2 weeks, it's not been nearly as good as it needs to be. And yesterday, we got behind the chains early on first down on run, what we consider run downs, some first and second down situations. We weren't as efficient as we needed to. There were some positives. We fought back and got back in the game when we were down 10 points at halftime. And the first two drives came out and scored. I think we've got to be more resilient in terms of when we give up the big play. We had the 74-yard pass completion that basically led to the touchdown. And we did not respond to that the way that we need to. And we haven't finished well in the fourth quarter.
It's interesting. You talked about a variety of things. You've got quite a swath here, and most teams do, I guess, in terms of young guys to veteran guys. And that shared responsibility, I think Dwight Lowry, and I heard the comment late last night and again this morning, talking about, you know, individually, guys have got to step up, but it has to be done collectively within the team concept. And I think that term you're using, shared responsibility, is an interesting one because it covers everybody.
It does.
Whether you're playing, whether you're on the active, whether you're on the practice squad, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's important that we all understand that we have to go out and be accountable. And that's coaches, players, offensive players, defensive players, and that we're going to do this together. When we play consistent football, we're a very good football team. When we're not consistent, it's not as good as it needs to be. And we've got a lot of areas that we've got to we've got to address. The explosive plays on defense, really stand out, and our third down efficiency are two on the defensive side of the ball.
Smitty, as you evaluate different facets of the game, we know holding can be called on any play, but you had a couple holding calls on both sides of your offensive line from Jake and from Karimi. How concerning are those? Are they physical scenarios? Something easily fixed, or is it a problem with being overmatched sometimes?
A point of emphasis on the offensive side has been offensive holding, and we've not done a good job, especially there in the fourth quarter. And I think the officiating crew called a good game. That was there was some holding. We've got to be much better, and we've got to help those guys as well as coaches in terms of not always putting them on islands. We've got to do a good job of giving them some help with chips and help with guys, lining up people there that at least give the illusion. Because there's some good, pass rushers. When you're a left tackle in this league, you've got the backside and the blind side of your quarterback. You're always getting a tough draw and getting the best pass rusher every week.
Well, we're talking about officiating, which is one of my favorite topics to talk about. I know you're limited as to what you can say. The Roddy White hit is an egregious hit. I don't think this is going to be one this guy's going to get penalized or going to get a fine from the league. It looks like an ear hole shot, and I know you can't – it was an ear hole shot. We all saw it on the replay. You can't comment on that part of it. Can you let us in a little bit on what the discussion was? Because I know you called the official over trying to get some description as to what he potentially saw.
Well, the one official obviously threw the flag. He saw it one way, and someone had a different view. The back judge had a different view, and they went through a discussion process and decided that the guy that was the back judge had a better view of it, and that's how it was explained to me by Walt Coleman, and that's why they picked up the flag. Everybody had an opportunity to see the replay and form their own opinion, and I'll just leave it at that.
Do you guys still, and I know it was back in my day, of course, we used to have the 16-millimeter film. You used to clip that out and send it to the league. Do you guys still do those kind of things, or is that banked by them in the league anyway?
Well, it's all the video is time-coded, and it all has the stats to it, and we have a process that we go through each and every week. In which we can send in questions about specific plays and try to get a response from the officiating office, not the, you know, we got the response from the officiating crew that was doing the game that day. And sometimes it's different, sometimes it's not. And again, we do not make those things public. Sometimes it gets out. I don't know how, but we don't really discuss it outside of our coaching staff. We don't want to even talk to it about the players and about how the league ruled it.
Sure, and that's probably the best route because there's a lot of there becomes discretion at some point.
Yeah. I mean, 2 minutes.
Calls are interesting and they're subjective, clearly, because you had one go against you early in the game, and then that one, it looked like it was going to go your way, ended up not going your way, and it's befuddling sometimes, and I know it is for fans because they're not privy to the conversation you're getting. As you just explained to us, the different viewpoints is probably what canceled the flag, and that was one of the things yesterday, and quite frankly, I'm still kind of confused how one was one way and one was the other, but so it stood in a 27-13 win for Chicago. A couple of things to cover here for Coach today, and I do want to ask you about one of the things you brought up in your press conference, and I thought it was interesting, was the competitive situation you got with personnel. And this is one of the things you've talked with us in the past about here in our final minute before the break, is a situation like a Jonathan Massaquon and Corey Bierman yesterday. Those guys both played well, both played in different scenarios for you, though. Massaquon was doing some good things for you. Bierman was pretty good against the run, it looked like, Coach.
Yes, and we're always competing. We want our guys to go out and compete. And what happens during the week is going to have a lot of bearing on what's going to happen on the field on Sunday. And we say it all the time: you get what you earn.
Sure.
And if you go out and practice well, you're going to get an opportunity to go out there and play. And I thought that Jonathan Massaquoi did a very good job rushing the passer. He had the one sack. He had a couple of pressures and hurries, and he did a very good job for us. It's good to see a young guy ascending as a defensive end, outside pass rusher.
All right, we'll take a break. Come back more with Coach Smith from Flowery Branch. The Coach's Show on a Monday continues on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And the Falcons, of course, got points in 1 and 3 yesterday, so that's $80.
$80, right? Yeah, $80 from tomorrow, yeah. Or yesterday, yep.
Yep, so back with Coach Mike Smith, player guest with us in the second half hour today from Flowery Branch. We'll get to the logistics a little bit of this this next. We will not have a program next Monday or the Monday after because the Falcons obviously will be in Europe next Monday, and then.
Oh, you guys aren't coming, all you guys here in the studio.
We'll be there a little later.
We'll
than
be there
you
a little
are,
later in the week, Smitty.
They've not invited us for the entire 7 days.
But I do want to ask you a little bit about how systematic you try and keep that, because it is the regular season. I think that's one of the things that gets lost a little bit in this process is folks who think, well, it's a great trip and done it, but still working. Opportunity for, certainly for this football team. A couple of things you touched on today earlier in your media comments. One is your efficiency as a team, but in particular your fourth quarter efficiency. Yesterday, one of those things developing again. That's a trademark of your teams, and unfortunately, it's not. It just hadn't kicked in this year, has it?
It has not. We've not been able to finish games, and in the NFL, you have to. Be able to score in the fourth quarter. We know that most games are going to be close games. Yeah. And, again, that game was tied up with about 6 minutes to go in the third quarter. And with us coming out and putting 10 points on the board there early in the third quarter, and we have not been able to move the ball effectively in the fourth quarter of the ball games. We've been outscored by quite a number, and it's something that we've got to do better at, and we've got to get it fixed. And it's something that is a concern because you're going to be playing tight games in this league.
Yep.
Smitty, the touchdown in the third quarter that gets you back to 13-10 was an incredible drive. When you talk about Wes and I were looking at it, you overcame three major penalties in the drive, including a minor penalty. 35 yards of penalties ultimately you overcome to get the ball down the field and score the touchdown, which I thought was remarkable. The Bears go 3 and out, and you're in the process of doing it again, and you had a couple of drop passes that you talked about, the inconsistencies in playing to potential offensively. Levine dropped one over the middle, and Roddy in a close, tight-knit throw. Roddy can't hang on third down, and so you have to settle for the field goal. And then that's when the deep shot comes that sets up their next touchdown. And then you go three and out the next two times you touch the ball. I know you had a plan from a personnel standpoint to get different people in the game. How much did that derail trying to get the people on the field to make some plays when you only had six plays of offense over about a nine-minute period there?
It's very difficult. It's important for us to convert those third downs because we keep possession of the ball. And when we keep possession of the ball, we have the opportunity to put it into our different playmakers' hands. And that stretch there was not good for us. And then the next time we really came out, we were down two scores. And now you're in attack mode. And, you know, the attack mode is completely different than your normal offense. It's basically you're in a two-minute mode. And we were in that two-minute mode basically for the last six, 7 minutes of that game. So those two three and outs where we don't convert on third down and we gave the ball back to the Bears really hurt us in terms of the number of snaps that we were going to be able to run in the second half and in turn get different players involved in it.
Yeah. The scenarios yesterday with the variety, and we're touching on this during the break, the running back situation is really kind of developed nicely for you here. You got four guys that seemingly yesterday looked like very comfortable putting in the ball game in most every situation, right?
Yes, we really like our running back crew. They've done a very good job. If there's probably one area on the football team that's played the most consistent football throughout the season, I'd say it's that group. They've done a good job. When we've asked them to run the ball, they've been efficient catching the football. And most importantly, which gets overlooked, probably the biggest overlook, is they're very good pass protectors. And they did a good job yesterday in getting their man. Their man wasn't the one that was putting pressure on our quarterback. They did a very good job when they had a single blocker and I like the way that our running backs have played thus far.
Smitty, when you look at the situation, 2-4, 0-2 in this quarter, as you talk about the quarters of the season, how do you address your team to make sure that there's obviously a sense of urgency, which I can obviously is here, and you can see it in all the guys' eyes, but that they don't play too tight and get caught up in the fact that, okay, we're a little under the gun here. How do you balance that and make sure that they play with that squeeze-the-trigger mentality on both sides of the football, yet understand the sense of urgency?
Well, you can't play uptight. When you're uptight in athletics, you're never going to be as effective. You've got to relax and play the game, but there has to be a sense of urgency. This division, I still think it's a very tight race. There's 10 games left in the regular season. So there's a lot of football to be played. And each week it's a completely different dynamic. And, we'll be sitting here, 8 weeks from now, mm-hmm. and we won't even remember some of the things that happened in the first five or six games. That's just the way this league is. So it's important for us to understand that there is a sense of urgency, but we can't get uptight. We've got to rely on the mentors on this football team, the guys that have done it and have done it over and over, and we have a number of them that have helped us win a lot of games over the last six years here.
We touched on it yesterday a little bit during the broadcast, 41 days actually between home mm-hmm. games, 42 by the calendar.
Yep.
Off to Baltimore this week, and then next Sunday night, as you told us last week, you'll leave from BWI and then go across to the UK. You'll have the whole week over there. But I know it's important in the run-up to Sunday that you kind of start the schedule that you're going to be on for these next two road games, right?
That is correct, and it's important for us. We'll be going through a regular preparation week this week with the players off tomorrow. Actually, they're not off. They'll be spending time at hometown huddle, so they'll be getting out. Our entire squad will be getting out in the community on Tuesday tomorrow, and then we have our Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Sure. 2 minutes.
And then when we go to Baltimore, we're going to stay in Baltimore, have a dinner, and then get on the plane and fly over. We'll do, when we arrive on Monday, we'll have a public relations
community day.
Day in England, and then Tuesday will be a normal play day off for the players. The coaches will do their game planning, and then Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, even though we're not here in Flowery Branch, we'll do everything just like we're here in Flowery Branch. And then we will drive in on Saturday after our walkthrough. We'll drive in and stay in London, just like we'd be staying at the Georgia Tech. We'll be right across the street, basically, from Wembley Stadium. And we'll get up and kick her off and then get on the plane and head back.
As you balance this thing, at any time there's adversity that comes, people tend to panic, yet it's those that don't panic tend to find their way back to the road. I would imagine that's going to be the main part of this, your message. Yeah, there's a sense of urgency, but hey, let's trust our preparation and let's go execute the preparation on Sunday.
Absolutely. We've got to continue to train our body and minds for the games on Sunday. And when we get the opportunity to make plays, when they're presented, we've got to go out and make them. And you're going to make those plays more often than not when you're relaxed and you've got a, you know, you've got a positive attitude. And we've still got, like I've said, a lot of football to play. We've got a great locker room. These guys are disappointed in the way that we played yesterday. Come Wednesday, when we get back out on the field, our focus will be on one thing, and that's going to Baltimore and beating the Baltimore Ravens.
Pretty good team you'll see up there on Sunday. Got off to a hot start yesterday to get pick up a victory, didn't they?
Yes, they did. They played very good football, dominating football yesterday against the Tampa Bay Bucs.
All right. Thanks, Smitty. Appreciate it as always. Good luck Sunday.
All right. Thank you, guys.
That's Falcons head coach Mike Smith. Stay tuned. Plenty more to come live from Flowery Branch. The Coaches Show continues after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.